Without a show of hands, how many of you remembered your small little homework assignment I gave you last Sunday, which was to read Jonah chapter 2? I hope that you did that. I hope that you found time in the week to read those 10 verses so that you will be very familiar with what we're going over today. And I encourage you to read Jonah chapter 3 this upcoming week before we have service next Sunday on October the 1st. So last week we talked about being disobedient. We talked about what happens when we run from God, and that we can run for a while. We can attempt to hide, but eventually God's going to find us, and we're never going to be able to outrun God. And Jonah tried his very best to outrun God. He was extremely disobedient. He thought that as soon as he heard God's call, God's voice, that he would flee so that he could get away from. And so that can happen to you, and that can happen to me. And so we have to be aware of knowing that we can take the risk, a huge risk. We can take a risk in trying to flee from God and run from him, but eventually you're going to get tired and you're not going to be able to run any longer, no matter how mentally prepared you think you are or how physically prepared you think you are. You cannot, you will not, you shall not outrun God. And we look at Jonah, and our initial thoughts, and I don't know what your thoughts would be of Jonah, but when we look at Jonah, we see that he is a running rebel. His intentions were to rebel. And so, you know, you may say in your own life that your intentions are not to rebel from God, but it's innate. It is in our DNA. It is in your heart to be rebellious. What do you do about that? What can you do to change a rebellious heart? And that is to repent. Remember, that was a real key word last week, was we spoke on the importance of repentance and completely turning and running from whatever sins that weigh you down and flee and run towards God. And so in repentance, we must flee and run the opposite direction in the life in which we're living. That is the key to building a strong and powerful relationship with God versus being disobedient and not adhering to God's word. And unfortunately for Jonah, we saw, as we read Jonah chapter 1 last week, that as he continued to disobey, as he continued to flee, he continued to get further and further and further away from God. And it leads us to where we are today. I really can't imagine us physically being further from God than being in the belly of a whale or a big fish in the depths of the sea. Can you imagine? I cannot. But there's where Jonah is, and that's what we're going to study today. And thankfully, as always, God has an immaculate plan for you and for me, but you've got to be able to recognize that plan. And Jonah had to be able to recognize that plan. And it took Jonah being cast overboard off of a ship, being swallowed by a big fish or whale, to realize what he was doing was wrong. That is you today. That is me today. Every one of us has been put in some type of situation somewhere in our lives where we have been thrown into a pit of our own volition. Not because of someone else, but because of your own choices. And so Jonah has now found himself in a rather large predicament. And so we're going to study Jonah chapter 2 today. But before we do, I want to go back and read verse 17, the very last verse of Jonah chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there if you haven't already. And we're going to look at verse 17. And then we're going to go in and study the rest of Jonah chapter 2 today. You know, Jonah, he had to learn the hard way. But you don't have to. You may need to learn the hard way in order to learn that life's lesson, but you don't have to, because you should be surrounding yourselves with people who can steer you in the right direction, who can encourage you to make better decisions. Whether you're young or old, we all need people to be great encouragers to us and to show us the things that we need to do when there is error in our lives. But the problem is we don't want to admit those errors. We're prideful. Kenny made a point this morning. You know, sometimes we, in our morning assembly, he made the point that sometimes we don't really want to ask others for prayer. Sometimes we do, but sometimes we feel if we ask somebody for prayer that we're kind of putting ourselves out there. And then you don't have to specifically say, hey, I need you to pray for this specific thing per se, but because we know God knows everything that's going on within our lives. But most of the time, individuals don't like to ask for prayer specifically because of pride. They don't want anybody to think that there's anything going wrong in their lives. And so we have to be able to get over that. We have to be able to overcome those types of thoughts in our minds, rather. And so my goal every Sunday, and I may fail at this every Sunday, but in my mind, I always want to be able to make God's word life applicable for you. You know, we can take his word and we can read it and we can study it, but if we can't take his word and then apply it, then we're really missing out on the importance of God's word. God didn't give us the Bible just to hold some concrete or tangible book just to hold, just to read, just so that we could read and study. He wanted us to be able to do that and study and then take what we're studying and then go apply it. Just like you do as you grew up from kindergarten to 12th grade through your college career, or even if you became a worker out of high school, you had to develop a skill set to be functional at your job. And so if you can't continually learn and apply what you're learning on a day-to-day basis, then what are you doing? And so if you're not able to apply God's word on a day-to-day basis, then what good is it? And so I hope that we can take God's word each Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday when we're together and make it life applicable for each one of us, because all of us need it. We all need to apply God's word to our lives. One verse can be applied in thousands of different ways, and that's what we need to focus on. And so we're going to look at Jonah chapter 2, but first I do want us to read the very last verse of 17 and understand and see now that Jonah is now in the fringe of the pit. He is now deep into the belly of this whale or this fish. So verse 17 says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." Now the key word says God had prepared. So obviously we know that God knew that Jonah was going to run, that Jonah was going to go to Tarshish, that he was going to get on a ship. God knew exactly which ship. They might have been 100 ships to choose from on that dock that day, but God knew which ship he was going to get on. And so God prepared long ago for Jonah this fish to intervene or to come and be a part of his life. And so for the record, though, I want to state lots of people, even some theologians, like to discredit the story of Jonah. They like to say that it was a fable, that it was a parable, a story, a legend that was created just to teach a piece of God's literature. But we know that this is not true, and we have a great example of why we know this is not true, because of the simple fact that Jesus himself used and alluded to the life of Jonah. But before I go into that one verse, those two verses in Matthew that I'd like to share with you, I want to tell you that, you know, we cannot pick and choose what stories we want to believe in the Bible. We can't pick and choose which miracles we think really happened and which ones really didn't. Because when you begin to do that, number one, you're questioning God's word. And then when you begin to do that, what happens is doubt begins to infiltrate your mind. And so then you may begin to start questioning the whole ramifications of God's glorious and salvation plan. And so if you can't believe the stories that you read from front to back, then you're going to discredit what you're trying to do. And so you have to believe that everything is written in this Bible is true. Now, we know there are times when Jesus himself, he preached and he taught from parable. But this was a true living man who was truly being disobedient to God. And so we need to make sure and understand and know that this that we're reading is of the truth. This is a man who was totally disobedient, who had no desire, because he didn't like a specific group of people, to do what God needed him to do. And sometimes we can find ourselves to be in that same situation, and we don't need to be. We don't need to neglect any opportunity that God presents us with to tell others the story of Jesus. Matthew 12, 39 and 40 is where Jesus makes reference to Jonah. He says, "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to them, but the sign of the prophet Jonah." And then he goes on to say in verse 40, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, going back to verse 39, he says, but he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He's referencing the Ninevites. This is how they were. But then again, now let's think about where we live today. This really describes us once again. You know, we look at these evil cities that existed during the Old Testament days and even during Jesus' time, and we think that those barbaric cities don't exist anymore, but they do. We are living in them. So we experienced them firsthand. So Jesus was making this reference up front and letting them know that these people were seeking out after a sign, and the sign was already given to them. For Jonah was the sign. And so Jonah, not ironic, not coincidental, he was in the pit or in the belly of this fish for 3 days. The Lord Jesus Christ himself was in the pit, was in that grave for 3 days. And what's so great about that opportunity is, or example rather, is that Jonah came out after 3 days. And what happened when he came out? He was able to experience a new life. And so Jesus, when he was raised from the grave after 3 days, he didn't experience new life per se, but we know that his new life that he had is what gives us new life. And so we can experience this very same thing through the believing of God's plan of sending his only begotten son to die on that cross. After 3 days, Jesus' example was given and was lived by him through the example of Jonah. So therefore, if Jonah was fictitious, if he was made up, would Jesus have used him as an example? The answer is no. He would not have used him as an example. So within these very verses that we see here in Matthew, though, we read, though, that God is always in control. God had a plan when Jesus spoke of these words of raising his own son from the dead. And God had a plan to even get Jonah's attention after 3 days to literally raise him from the dead. Because you think about it, is there really a promising life for one who has been consumed or gulped, swallowed by a big fish? Eventually, you're going to die. That could have happened to Jonah, but it didn't, because God had a plan. The God that raised Jesus from the grave is the hand of God that raised him from the grave, is the very same hand of God that implemented the fish, the very same hand of God that caused the seas to rage, the very same hand of God that then calmed the seas when Jonah entered into that water. So we can see the importance of God's power and how he orchestrates all things to work for his good. And so I used the word consume for one specific reason. When you think of consumption, you think, let's say, of consuming of food. It means to take in. You consume water. You take in that water. You consume stresses from a job or the heartaches of a job. It becomes within you. And so that's what I'm using for today with Jonah and the word consumed, because Jonah had been consumed with sin. And so his consumption of sin has led him down this treacherous road or this treacherous situation. And so what happens with our own lives is when we allow sin to infiltrate our lives and we don't do anything about it, it takes us further and further down into that pit. And you know, a lot of times when you get in that pit, you may want to wallow around in that pit. You want to have a pity party. And so when you do that, you are ruining your relationship with God. You're dampering it. You're hindering it. And all you got to do is swallow that pride and call out to God through prayer, and he will deliver you. So prayer and deliverance is so very important, and Jonah needed to understand this and realize this, because God, even though Jonah was so terribly disobedient, God had an immaculate plan for Jonah. And so now we see in this very pit that Jonah has managed to get himself in, this belly of a whale or fish, which most people think that it was a sperm whale that was what consumed Jonah, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on in our message today. Not a fish, but a gigantic whale that actually lived in the Mediterranean Sea. And so Jonah in the pit, but a pit that he created. God didn't create this pit. God allowed this to happen. But it happened, though, simply because Jonah was disobedient, plain and simple. There's no other way around it. And so when you get in life's pits, when you feel as though you've been swallowed by that fish, it is of your own doings. Whether you want to come to the acceptance of that or not, it is because of something that you did that put you in that situation. And so here we see Jonah in this terrible situation. So now we are finally at Jonah chapter 2. And we're going to read these verses of Jonah chapter 2. And it's only 10 verses. So follow along with me as I read these verses. Jonah chapter 2. And it says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. And you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas. And the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Jonah, so very disobedient, is now in a very, very sticky situation. And he finally decided to cry out to God. If you recall what all that we talked about in chapter 1, he saw all these things around him turning into total calamity because of something that he did. And even those pagan sailors, what did they do? You remember they prayed to their God. At least they were taking the time to cry out to somebody. So they thought, but not Jonah. What was he doing? Remember, he was sleeping in the hull of the ship. He wasn't worried about it. He was just ready to die. He figured then he would be able to get away from God and not have to do exactly what God needed him to do. And so Jonah had no concern. He did not want to pray out to God whatsoever. But he finally realized, oh my, I probably need to pray now because here I am sitting in the belly of this big fish. And so we can take comfort in knowing, though, even through Jonah's words, that even though he was disobedient, he still remembered he was a child of God, and he makes reference to that. As a matter of fact, Psalms 130, verses 1 and 2 reads, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication." Jonah didn't use these words verbatim. This is what he was crying out. And so this shows us that Jonah was beginning to recall the things that he had studied over the course of his life, that God was a fixture of his life, and he was beginning to remember those things. And don't you imagine it was probably a good time to do so? But you know, unfortunately for us, we begin to remember God when we have disobeyed or when we have run from him. And so if we would just adhere to God's word always, we wouldn't find ourselves in these types of situations. But even when we do find ourselves in these situations, we know that when we cry out, the Lord will hear your voice. But you got to be a child of God for him to hear your cries. Unless you're crying out that you're a sinner saved by grace and you need the Holy Spirit to come and live within you, he can then hear that prayer. But until you make that prayer, the prayer falls upon deaf ear. The prayer makes it no higher than this ceiling. And so Jonah realized that he needed to pray, and it took him a while to realize this. We don't know the exact time frame of how long this ordeal took place on the ship, but we do know by reading God's word that he never took the time to pray out loud or even to pray to God, no matter what turmoil that he saw. But then the big fish consumed him, and Jonah began to pray. And so, you know, the one thing that I wonder and is when Jonah was tossed overboard, you know, he was tossed overboard by the sailors. When he was tossed overboard, I wonder, did the fish immediately come up and swallow him? Or do you think God may allow him to almost drown, begin to sink? I wonder. I think, my personal opinion, you can have your own, but I think that God may have let him sink a little bit before he was rescued. I think God let him sink a little bit so he'd realize that, you know, oh my God, this is fixing to be it. This is how my life's going to end because of my disobedience. And then the fish came along and was able to swallow Jonah up. But we don't know exactly how long he flailed in this water. But we do know that once he touched the water, the seas calmed because of the power of God. And so as I say, that my feelings toward Jonah is that he realized him being swallowed actually saved his life for a moment. Now, he didn't know what the outcome was going to be, but at least he knew then he was not drowning any longer in the sea, in the Mediterranean Sea. He was now in the belly of this fish. And so everything we read of Jonah, it happened, and God allowed it to happen. Why did he allow it to happen? To get Jonah's attention. And that's why God allows things to happen in our own lives. Once again, we do make decisions that forces God's hand, per se. But those things happen in our lives to get our attention. And if you continually ignore those things, then you're definitely disobeying God in ways in which you should not. If he's trying to get your attention, adhere to it. If you feel that he's talking to you, listen. If you're not sure that he's talking to you, be still. Pray to God. Ask for his guidance. Be still and always know that he is God, and listen for that small, still voice. Looking at verse 2, we see that Jonah prayed to the Lord, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. So see, once again, that's how good God is. Even as stubborn as Jonah was, as soon as Jonah recognized and immediately cried out, what did God do? He answered. Immediately. He gave him an answer. He took care of him. And when he hears you cry out, he will give you an answer. He will take care of you. But you have to continue to hold steadfast and know that it may be tough at times. But rest assured knowing that God has a wonderful plan for you. And we see in verse 2 that Jonah made reference of the place of Sheol. Now I'm using New King James today. Some Sundays I read from King James, but today I chose to use the New King James. If you're reading King James, it may use the word hail instead of Sheol. And so Sheol is a place for the dead, a place that no one should have a desire to be. And so he was beginning to feel that's where he was. He was in the belly of hail. He was in the belly of death. Not literally, but that's what he felt like. Because all the weight of the world is beginning to crash down around him because of his direct disobedience to God. But Jonah cried out, and what did God do? As always, when his children cry out, God answered. And so when Jonah mentioned this place called Sheol, it's a reference of the dead, as I've said, but you notice he said it was a place in which one can enter by going through a gate of the dead made of bars, a very tragic place that no one should ever have the desire to go. But Jonah, once again, is showing his knowledge of what he learned about God. Psalms 30, 2 and 3 says, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave, Sheol, or hell. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Now, this is taken from King David. And when he was making this statement, he was actually praising God and he was thanking God for saving him during a hardship in his life. So these are the words that David uttered, and these are the very same words that Jonah uttered. He was now thankful in recognizing, God, thank you for rescuing me from the pits of hell. Now, we can glorify in knowing, and we can be glad in knowing that if you've experienced these same things in life, if you called upon the name of God to save you, you have been rescued from the pits of hell. That there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And so Jonah realized this, even though he was so directly, intentionally disobedient toward God, the God of grace still was covering Jonah's mistakes and covering Jonah's sins. Jonah's experience showed him that God was fully aware of all the circumstances of Jonah's life. And you know, that's what's so great for you and for me, because we're children of God. And he knows exactly what you're going through. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow, the week after, and even 3 and 4 years from now, hundreds of years now. He knows how this world's going to be. But he's always got a plan for his people. He's always got a way to rescue you from the pits of hell, that place that we can refer to as Sheol. God cast him into the deep. Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "And for you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple." Another reference that that Jonah shows us, that he remembers the words of God. God had been cast, Jonah had been cast in the belly of this fish, all because of neglect, all because of neglecting God's plan for his life. And so that's what happens to you and for me when we neglect God's plan for our life. We can be cast away into the belly of sin, that pit that keeps us just there and it won't turn us loose. And so we even see the perfect example of God's will in Jonah's life and how he wanted to calm the seas of your life. Because as soon as Jonah touched that water, the seas were calmed. And as soon as Jonah touched that water, he began to pray, "Oh God, help me." And so when you begin to pray, "Oh God, help me," he can calm your raging sea. He can take care of all that you need taken care of. Jonah also described how he felt when he faced death. However, this was before being swallowed by the fish. And Jonah realized then that was the appearing of the fish that was actually his saving grace. Now you think about that, being swallowed by the fish. That doesn't sound like that'd be a very inviting thing to experience either. But Jonah realized it was by God's grace that this event had taken place in his life. Jonah states in verse 4, "I have been cast out of your sight." Now you think about that for a moment. Do you ever feel that you've been cast out of God's sight because of direct disobedience? Whether you're willing to admit it or not, there are times in your lives, I know there's been times in my own life where I was cast out of God's sight. It wasn't because God cast me out of his sight. I casted myself out of God's sight because of pride, because of being stubborn, being hard-headed, as we like to say. But you know, a lot of times it's more of a hardened heart than it actually is even being stubborn and hard-headed. It's because you've denied God so many times. And Jonah did this immediately upon hearing his voice. So I ask you that question. Do you feel that way? Do you feel in your Christian walk that there has been times in your life where you have been cast from God's sight because of poor choices that you've made? And we have to recognize once again that it's not God's decision. It is our own decision to be casted out of God's sight. I read the verse of verse 4 where I said that Jonah said, "I will look again towards your holy temple." Once again, that's Jonah's reflection of his remembrance of God's word. That holy temple was something important. Jonah realized that holy temple was a place for the holies of holy, a place of holy ground, a place where people went, the priests went to go and pray and lift their concerns for his people to God. And Jonah realized that I needed to pray to your holy temple, God's temple, saying, "God, I need you to save me, that there's no other way out of this situation but for you to save me." And he realized this. He said, "I will look again to thy holy temple." 1 Kings 8:30 says, "And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place," and this place is referencing the temple, "and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive." So when we recognize this error in our lives, when we recognize that we need to pray to God's holy temple, we know that we need to pray to God. He is going to hear, and he will forgive. God hears his children. Now, I'm sure that none of you have fled as Jonah fled and has been as disobedient as Jonah has, but maybe you have. But if you have so been this way, you can experience this forgiveness, because if you call out to him, if you cry out to him, he hears your concern. He hears your prayers. He knows what's within your heart. Look at verse 5. It says, "The water surrounded me even to my soul." Now, I want you to think as I read this. This is a great descriptor or description, rather, of how Jonah truly felt. And maybe how you felt or feel now as you sit here today. "The water surrounded me even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head." Now you think about that for a moment. Now we know this is metaphorically. This is being just Jonah describing how he feels. But you think about that, though. The waters compass Jonah just as our sins compass us, even to the soul. Now, don't you feel that sometimes your sins really do reach deep down into your soul because you just can't seem to shake it? You just can't get rid of it? And I'm telling you now, you're not going to get rid of it on your own. Your soul's not going to be cleansed on your own. The only way is through giving your soul to God, giving your every sin to God. And you know, this sin that affects our soul, it affects our bodies, our minds so very deeply. It affects your life. It affects your livelihood. It affects those who are around you. And so we have to be able to allow our souls to be cleansed. And there's only one who can cleanse our souls. These weeds being wrapped around his head is an illustration of the strain of sin. Think about that for a moment. The weeds, you know, just imagine if you were entangled in seaweed and you were being pulled down, as Jonah was describing here, and it gets wrapped around you, feel bound. Sin can bound you. Those chains of sin can bound you. And then you think about the pressure that it applies to you mentally. That's what Jonah's speaking of here. He's speaking of the mental pressure of his direct disobedience to God. Once again, something that he brought on himself. But this is what Jonah's describing here. He's entangled in this weed that is wrapped around his mind, that is wrapped around his body. These very pressures of sin that we place on ourselves when we are not doing what is right and we're not doing what is just in the eyes of God. And then something else I want to bring up too is, think of the pressure that Jonah was experiencing as he began to descend further into the sea. Now, we know that God was in total control of this situation, but from a scientific point, every 10 feet that you are submerged, 14 pounds of pressure per square inch of pressure is applied to your body every 10 feet. Okay, now I was doing some research on these whales, the sperm whale, which supposedly is what consumed Jonah. We don't know to be exact. But their bodies are constructed for as they begin to descend, their lungs can begin to collapse, relieving that pressure so they don't collapse. But the human body is not made that way. So there was literally having to be pressure that was upon Jonah's body, literal pressure from being submerged deep into the water. So you think about that. Any of you have ever been swimming before and you go below 10 feet, you can feel that pressure on you. And so Jonah was feeling that pressure. So that pressure really was the pressures of sin. Was the pressures of sin in his life. And those are the very same pressures that you carry around. As you walk across this earth, you're carrying around pressures of sin in your life that you can't seem to shake. And the only way to shake it is to give it to God and allow him to take those pressures away from you. And so we look at this situation that Jonah was in. There were so many different things that were going on within Jonah's life. Mentally, physically, and emotionally. He's calling out to God. He's asking God for his saving grace. And speaking of these whales, which this was an interesting fact I just want to share with you, they're capable of traveling or descending up to down to 7,000 feet, which is basically almost 1.5 miles deep into. So who knows? God may have taken Jonah on a deep, deep journey. If you recall, looking back at Jonah 1, verses 3 through 5, it reads, you remember we used that word down last week? It was down, down, down. Well, this is what we're looking at now. It says, but Jonah arose to flee Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, which caused the tempest to rise and the sea to be broken up. But then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship. And what did he do? He laid down and went fast asleep. Now you think about that for a moment. No matter how deep that fish took Jonah, was he going to get away from God? Was he going to escape God? Was God going to quit thinking of him? Was he going to be out of God's mindset? The answer is an emphatic no. No. So I want to tell you today, and I hope that you already know this, but let me reiterate it. No matter how far you run from God, no matter how deep you go from God or try to get away from God, He knows where you are. But here's something else that's even more important. I want you to think about it from a heart standpoint. You can say what you want to say. You can attempt to live the way you want to live, but God knows exactly what is within your heart. And you can't hide that from Him. You can hide it from us. You can hide it from friend and family. But you cannot hide what's in your heart from God. He knows everything. And so my main statement to you all today is give all of your heart to God. Give it all to Him. Don't be disobedient and hold just a little bit for yourself or for a loved one or for a friend. Give your entire heart, your entire being and soul to God so that you will not be disobedient like Jonah and you will not run from God like Jonah. Jonah's descent to death was almost complete as he reaches the root of the mountains. And so that's very important too, because I don't really know if Jonah was able to visualize or look out and see where he was and how deep he was, but the mountains that we see up above us on the earth, there's mountains below us. There's crevices deep down and within the earth. And so Jonah realized that he was getting deeper and deeper and deeper away from God and closer to death because of direct disobedience. Psalm 63:9 says, "But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth." This is when David made this great recognition when he was in the wilderness, when he was running from either King Saul or possibly running from his own son, Absalom. He was running and he realized he was out in the wilderness and he was suffering, but he wanted to understand and know that God, whatever you do, please help me, but seek those who destroy me and they shall go into lower parts of the earth. This is another reference to hell, that place called Sheol. This place truly exists. They spoke of it during the Old Testament. They spoke of it during the New Testament in which we live today. Hell is for real. Jonah recognized that God brought him out of the pit. And it took him a long time to realize that. It took him a while to realize that God, through all of these mistakes that I've made, that I'm in a bad place and I need you to take care of me. Get rid of this heartache. Get rid of this anguish. Get rid of this sin that is in my life. How was Jonah able to obtain this vision? Because he sought out God. He prayed out to God. He remembered God's word. He remembered God's saving grace. And he did this because he prayed. He prayed for God's deliverance. Look at verse 7. "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you and to your holy temple." Once again, he's making great reference to that holy temple. He's remembering and realizing that he must submit all of his prayers and all of his concerns to God so that he can be delivered. And it also goes back to that word we spoke of last Sunday and what we spoke of at the beginning of this service, repentance. Jonah had now began to realize that he needed to repent of his sins. Looking at verse 8 and verse 9, it says, "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Now, when he makes these comments here, "those who regard worthless idols," he's speaking of those mariners. He's speaking of those sailors, of those who prayed out to God, but they were praying out to the lowercase g, the lowercase god, the sea god, Yam. But once again, remember, they were at least taking time to pray because they knew they were in trouble. But Jonah wouldn't do that. He wouldn't pray. He didn't want to recognize that he needed God's help, but he finally realized that once God sent this whale, this big fish, to intervene and to swallow him whole. Salvation belongs to the Lord. This is Jonah's confession that God is the sovereign source of salvation. But we're going to actually read in Jonah chapter 4 that he still was not quite satisfied or in agreeance with God. Even though he repented to God and realized, "Oh God, I need you to save me," we're going to study in chapter 4, October the 8th, we'll study in chapter 4, that he still was not fully ready to give everything to God as he should. Jonah's mindset and biggest hindrance was the fact that he felt that God was free to save anybody as only as they were an us kind of people. Us and not them. That's the way Jonah felt. He looked at Nineveh and felt that they really weren't worthy of being saved, God. They've lived this wicked and evil life and you still want to save them? But then look at the life that Jonah's living. Direct disobedience, because he knows God. But he still chose to run away. The people of Nineveh had no desire to know God, so in a sense, their sin was not really as bad as Jonah's. He had a relationship with God and was running from him. These people had no relationship. And so we're looking at our final verse today of Jonah, chapter 2, verse 10. And it says, "So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah on the dry ground." Now notice that, though. If you remember what we said in verse 1 of Jonah, chapter 1, Jonah heard the voice of the Lord, and what did he do? He ran immediately. The fish hears the voice of God, and he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He vomited Jonah onto dry land. And I find that kind of a sad situation, but I think about our very own lives. Sometimes I think God is more capable of allowing the things of this earth to be more obedient to his word than we are. He was able to orchestrate this fish to go and swallow Jonah at the right time, and then he told the fish to vomit him back up, and there he was. God gives us things to do, and we twiddle our thumbs, we ponder on it, we run from it, and we don't do what we need to do, and we should know better. But that word vomit, you know, when I think of the word vomit, I think of disgust. I can give you numerous vomiting stories from my teaching career. I'm sure some other teachers here today can do the very same thing. That word vomit kind of makes your skin crawl, doesn't it? Can you imagine what Jonah may have looked like, what he was probably covered with, though? Because, I mean, you know, he was in the belly of a fish. Could you imagine what he looked like, what he smelled like when he was spewed back onto the dry land? So when I think of that word vomit, I think of disgust, but it's a... To me, it's a symbolism of God's displeasure in Jonah. I think the word vomit was used for a specific reason, to show us disgust, to show us the displeasure of God's mindset. Because he knew, remember what I said earlier today, Jonah repented, he wanted to be redeemed, but God still knew, deep down in his heart, there was still a little bit of hate for those Ninevites. So God had him spewed up, vomited onto dry land, because God was fully aware of the hostilities that he still was harboring in his life. And so I say that to say this to you all today. God knows you. He knows everything about you. He just wants to know you more because he wants you to know him more. And the only way you can do that is be obedient. By studying his word and being here through corporate worship and applying your life to have more prayer time for him, asking him to lead you and asking him to guide you, asking him to be in total control of your life. I tell you this over and over again, don't try to do life by yourself. Don't. You're adding stress to your life in which you do not need. Allow God total control of everything that you do. So we look to be delivered from God, just like Jonah was delivered from God. And why was Jonah delivered from God? Because Jonah still had favor in the eyes of God. You have found favor in the eyes of God. So I ask you today, looking at your own life, do you feel there is possibly disobedience with your own life that you need to deal with today? Do you feel that there's things in your life that are weighing you down, sins that are weighing you down? And God needs you just to get rid of them. Give them to him. Let him take the weight off of your shoulders, off of your heart. That's what he's there for. Don't let it be a moment in your life that has to take you down to the pit of hell, or that pit, or that belly of a fish. Don't let it get to that point. It is through prayer and deliverance that you can experience the love of God, the grace of God. So I encourage you today to let today be the day in which you do pray. And then when you do pray, you ask for deliverance of any sin in which you are harboring, any ill feelings in which you are harboring towards someone else, or even towards yourself. Think about that. Say, what can I do, God, to be a greater servant for you? I don't want to be a Jonah. I don't want to run. I don't want to flee. I want to come to you, God, giving you my everything. I encourage you to read Jonah chapter 3 before we return next Sunday. We will then now see the obedience of Jonah. And he does go to the Ninevites to teach them of God's grace. And we'll see the importance of that mission But more importantly, we'll see the importance of how God can use anybody to do his will, even when they're not fully willing, but they do recognize that they're in need of a person, of a God who can guide them to life everlasting. Father, we love you. We praise you. God, I thank you for all that you do in our lives each and every day. Lord, I pray that there be someone here today who has an issue going on within their lives, Lord, no matter the situation. Father, I pray that they be obedient to your word and that they adhere to what it is that they need to do to get rid of that stress, to get rid of that burden. Father, we learn the importance of not being, of what it means to be disobedient, God, and how you will handle those situations. But then today, God, we rejoice in knowing that through prayer, we can be delivered. And there is no greater tool that you provide us with than through prayer. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for the power of prayer. May we always understand and know that we can use this each and every day of our lives to further our relationship with you. God, we love you and we praise you. Amen.